So beginning of the parasha tells us, Vayetze Yaakov mi be'er shava, Vayelech charana. Yaakov is leaving Eretz Yisrael, and he's on his way to Charana. And as part of his preparation for going into Chutz Laretz, and the Sfas Emes tells us that everything that Yaakov did was not just for himself, but it was something that was creating a reality for the Doros. So what Yaakov did and the koach that Yaakov drew from in order to prepare for his descent to Chutz Laretz is something that gave us an ability to do when we go out. And Chutz Laretz here, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, doesn't have to just mean the formal borders of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Chutz Laretz in like the national sense and the country sense. But there's also on a philosophic level, when a person is leaving a place of Kedusha to a place that has less Kedusha. If a person is leaving Yeshiva and he's going into town on Friday, so there's a certain Bechina there of going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, because Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz is symbolic of going from a place, a more hermetic location of Kedusha and of Tahara and of focus on Avodas Hashem, to a place where that's less central and less bolate. And we have to learn the lessons from what Yaakov did in order for us to know what we're supposed to do. So Yaakov leaves, Vayetze Yaakov miber shava. And what does he do? So the pasuk tells us, Vayifka b'makom. So what does Vayifka mean? So we assume that Vayifka means to, well, the pashtus, that's because we already know Chazal. The pashtus is that he arrived, Vayifka, he banged into the place, he arrived at a place, he arrived at a location. Vayifka b'makom. And Rashi picks up on b'makom. Let's check the exact lashon. I always quote something on the side. That way we can also quote Rashi inside. So the Torah tells us, Vayifka ba-makom. Now, ba is beha, the place. Vayifka ba-makom. What's the place with the hey hayidia, with the definite article? What does it mean? The place. So the Rashi tells us Har HaMoria. Because it's not just a place. It's the place. What's the place? Har HaMoria. So the Pashtus is, and Chazal learned that the Lashon of Vayifka, in Pgiya, a Lashon Tfila, that what Yaakov did is he davened at the place. And what is the place to daven? The Kotel. So he was at Har HaMoria. Vayifka b'makom. However, there is another understanding of this pasuk. Now, it's true that the pashut meaning is definitely valuable to us. Before a person goes out, he has to daven to Hashem, that he should have siyata d'shmaya, that Hashem should protect him. And that is the pashtus of the pesukim. That's what Yaakov was doing. He was davening that Hashem should protect him in a foreign environment. However, vayifka b'makom, Chazal learned, some of the svarim learn that there might be an additional level of interpretation here. What is b'makom? So, there is a drasha in the Sifri on the Psukim in Kriya Shema, where the Pasuk says, oh. Morning, 9:05, B'chol levavcha, b'shnei yitzarecha. With the Pasuk in Kriya Shema that says you're supposed to serve Hashem with all of your heart. So what does that mean, b'chol levavcha? So, the Sifri quotes a couple of drashas. One is b'chol levavcha, b'shnei yitzarecha. Dover acher, b'chol lev shibcha. Shelo yelibcha cholek al hamakom. That your heart shouldn't be cholek al hamakom. You should serve Hashem with all of your heart, and it shouldn't be cholek al hamakom. What do you think that drasha means? Shelo yelibcha, your heart shouldn't be cholek. What's cholek? Split, or from lashon machlokes, al hamakom. What's hamakom? Hashem. That's strange. Why doesn't it just say Hashem? Why does it say Hamakom? Why doesn't it just say that your heart shouldn't be cholek al Hashem? So Rav Shlomo Karliner says that Makom doesn't mean Hashem in this location, but Makom means place. places, spatial reality, space. Your heart shouldn't be cholek on the space that you find yourself in. Meaning, a lot of times a person says in his life, you know, when I'm in yeshiva, I'm able to do really well. I'm able to look at the things I should be looking at. I'm able to talk at the way I should be speaking. I'm able to learn. I'm able to daven. But all of a sudden, when I find myself in another makom, when I find myself in another place, now all of a sudden, I can't keep the madrega that I kept in yeshiva. I can't keep the level that I kept when I was in shul. Because now I'm at work. Now I'm outside of the house. And there's a machlokas going on here. There's a clash with my makom. I need to be in my makom. I need to be in my zone. I need to be in my place in order to serve Hashem. But when I'm outside of my place, when I'm outside of my zone, now I can't serve Hashem anymore. And says of Shlomo of Karliner, no. You know what it means to be a Oved Hashem? B'chol levavcha, says in Kriya Shema. With all of your heart. Shlo yelibcha cholek al hamakom. You can't have this machlokes going on with your place. Or you can't have this distinction, chaluka, between when I'm in a good place and when I'm not a good place. And the Beis Aharon takes this idea from Shlomo Karliner and he tries to say that maybe that's what Yaakov was davening. Vayivka b'makom, it wasn't telling us where Yaakov davened, but it was telling us about what Yaakov was davening. Yaakov was davening about makom. He was davening about location. He was davening to Hashem and he was asking him that no matter where I am, I'm about to leave Eretz Yisrael and I'm davening to you for Siyata Deshmaya about place. That I need to be able to transcend my location. I need to be able to be me, Yaakov, in Oved Hashem, no matter what location I find myself in. In Parshas Ekev, the Beis Aharon returns to the same theme, and he says back about our Parsha that maybe that's the imagery of the ladder. Maybe the dream that Yaakov experienced was to tell him, Yaakov, you have your own personal ladder that connects you with the Shemayim. And wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, you have to always remember that ladder that you have. Now, I was recently in Chutz Laaretz, and I don't know, it hit me at some point. You know, Baruch Hashem, I get to spend most of my year in Eretz Yisrael. And not only in Eretz Yisrael, but I get to spend most of my year in a yeshiva. So I found myself on a subway in New York City, and it was a crowded rush hour subway. And I'm sitting there holding on to the thing up by the ceiling, the ring, the underground. And I'm holding on. And it's very crowded, and I find myself in a very foreign location. And sometimes it's hard to find, when you're in that location, to remember about the Kedusha and the Tara of a Jew, and about how you have a special mission. And even though everyone's on the subway together, you're on your way to do a mitzvah, and you're on your way, and you're in Chutz Laaretz to uplift the Chol, and to find the sparks of holiness, the spark seeker. And a person has to sometimes close his eyes and to realize that even though I find myself in a foreign location right now, but I have my own sulam, that's Magia Shamaima. And the Beis Aharon says that that was perhaps the message that Hashem was giving Yaakov as he was leaving Eretz Yisrael. To remember that no matter where you go, you're connected to Eretz Yisrael Shamala. And wherever you walk, I think there's a statement by Rav Nachman that he says, wherever I'm walking to Eretz Yisrael. So I would say differently. Wherever I'm walking with Eretz Yisrael. Not to Eretz Yisrael. Because everywhere I go, I have to feel that connection. I have to realize that there is a ladder that connects me to a place of Kedusha, no matter where I go. And this is what Yaakov gave to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Shabbos says that the Nachala, the inheritance, the legacy of Yaakov, is a nachala b'li meitzarim. No boundaries. And I think the point of that is exactly the nekuda that we just said. Yaakov has the ability to go without boundaries. You think Eretz Yisrael is only from the Mediterranean to the Jordan River to the Golan, down to Eilat. You think that's the border of Eretz Yisrael? That's not the border. First of all, that's not the border of Eretz Yisrael. But you think that that's the border of Eretz Yisrael? That's not the border of Eretz Yisrael. There are no borders. Kedusha and a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu transcends borders. And that's what he got. Anacha lebli meitzarim. Meitzarim means borders. And if a person connects to the Midah of Yaakov, it means that no matter where he goes, he's able to bring his Avodas Hashem with him as if he was in his natural habitat. And there's no greater statement of that than what Yaakov says when he's in Lavan's house, a place that's foreign to Avodas Hashem. And what does Yaakov say? Im Lavan Garti, the Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti. Now, I don't know if he actually kept all Tayag Mitzvahs when he... I don't think he did all of the mitzvahs. What did he mean, Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti? I think what he meant was, even though I'm in base Lavan, it doesn't matter. I'm just as focused. I'm just as able to be connected. I'm Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti here, just like I was when I was in Eretz Yisrael. And the Sfasemes in Parshas Vayichi says the same idea. Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim. What's Vayichi? Usually it says Vayihi. Not Vayichi. And he was. Vayihi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim. He was in Mitzrayim. No, Dafka says Vayichi. Because Yaakov lived. He had Chiyus. He was the same Yaakov. He lived in Eretz Yisrael and he lived in Mitzrayim and it was the same Yaakov. Because he transcended Mitzrayim. If Mitzrayim is a Lashon of Meitzarim, of borders, Mitzrayim, borders, Meitzarim. Well, Yaakov was the Nachla B'li Meitzarim. He was able to transcend the Meitzarim of Mitzrayim. Because he had a Nachla, like the Gemara in Kuf Yud Ches and Shabbos says, that was B'li Meitzarim. And therefore he was able to overcome Mitzrayim, Meitzarim. Because he had a Nachla B'li Meitzarim. In a powerful drash, the Pizetz and the Rebbe writes in the Eish Kodesh. Now in the beginning of the piece, he writes that he was writing this in hiding in the Warsaw Ghetto. Different pieces were written at different times. He writes in the beginning of this piece that he was in hiding when he wrote this. And he asks the question of why did Klal Yisrael get the Torah dafka in the Midbar? You would think it would have been much more climactic to leave Egypt, go to Eretz Yisrael, go to like Har HaBayis, and there to receive the Torah. Why in the Midbar? Why in the middle of the desert? And says the Pizetzner, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in the Midbar was to teach us that you don't need to be in Eretz Yisrael in order to keep the Torah. In fact, the Torah is going to be given in the darkness, in the depths of a desert, which is deserted. Al Tikri desert, El a desert. Not desert like at the end of a meal. But it's deserted. A desert is deserted. It's a place of nothing. And Dafka there is where we got the Torah in order to teach us that even in Galus, even in the darkness of Galus, the reason I say dark desert is because if you've ever been in a desert at night, it's pitch black, a desert. There's nothing. No light. There's obviously great ore when we got the Torah. But a desert represents darkness. It represents a place where there's nothing there. And yet, we were given the Torah that would teach us that even there, we're able to keep the Torah, we're able to be shomer the Torah, able to be a well-practicing Jew, even in the darkness. And the Pizetzner obviously was writing this from making a statement with this, that even in a place of real despair, like the Warsaw Ghetto, surrounded by the Nazis, even there, in the Gullus of Poland, even there we could serve Hashem. He was speaking on Shabbos. He said we could have an uplifting Shabbos because that was the koach of Yaakov. And that's certainly symbolized by the fact that Yaakov Avinu gave us Tfilas Maariv. Maariv is the light in the darkness. Maariv is the tefillah that we say at night. Both the night in terms of the time of the day. It's a nocturnal prayer. But it's also a prayer to say at the times of darkness. In the heart of darkness. Not only in Africa. But in the heart of darkness. Where a Jew sometimes feels small. He sometimes feels where he's not able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even there, we have a tefillah called Ma'ariv, and Ma'ariv is supposed to be the light in the darkness. And that, my friends, is Pshat and Chanukah. Because Chanukah, we're told that Yavon Zu Choshech. It's a Choshech. It says Choshech Al Pnei Sahom. In Bereishis, Chazal Darshan, that was Yavon. Because Yavon came and they tried to be Machshech, the light of Torah. They tried to put out the light of Torah. To darken it. They said, no Torah, no Milah, no Mitzvos, no Shabbos. Darken, to darken the world. Klal Yisrael brought light to the world, and Yavon was trying to bring darkness. That's why it's so funny that the Enlightenment is called the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment was a very darkening force. It was trying to extinguish the light of Torah. And Yavon thought that they were bringing light, but they were really bringing tremendous darkness to the world. And our melchama with Yavon is to keep the light going, even in the darkness. Even in the darkness of Yavon, even in the darkness of Greece, to keep the light going. And I realized that that might be the pshat in Beis Shammai. It still is very optimistic. Light one candle, light two candles, light three candles, keep going, brighter, brighter, brighter. What's pshat in Beis Shammai? So pessimistic. Start with eight lights, and seven, then six. I think it's the most inspirational message in the world, Beis Shammai. What does Beis Shammai say? Eight lights, seven lights, six lights, five, four, three, two, one. But one, Zos Chanukah, the last night of Chanukah is the most inspirational night. Even in the greatest darkness, even when you've lost your eight lights and you've lost your seven, you've lost your six, we can still celebrate. We can even reach a climax with one light. One little light in the darkness. That, I think, is the message of Beis Shammai. That even the smallest light can dispel a tremendous amount of darkness. And that's what Beis Shammai is teaching us. That no matter how dark it gets, even if it gets to 8, to 7, to 6, and you're thinking, oh gosh, the light's going out, the light's going out. No, says Beis Shammai. There'll always be one little candle. One little candle that'll still keep us going. Still keep us bright. What an inspirational message by Beis Shammai. So how does a person do it? How does a person keep that light? How does a person walk around with his recognition when you're walking around Ben Yehuda today? How do you walk around with the realization that you have your sulam, that's Magia Shamaima, and that no matter where you are, you're that guy who was pounding out of Tosfos all week, trying to figure out what's the yisod of the Isra Chabura on Shabbos? How do you remember that? So there are a few things. Number one, the Medrash tells us, Vayichan Yaakov al pnei Shechem. When Yaakov came to Shechem, he set up for himself a tent. But Chazal Darshan, what does that mean, Vayichan? So they learn that he was Kover Erev Tchumen. Strange Chazal. That's what it's telling me, that when Yaakov came to the edge of Shechem, he set up an Erev Tchumen. An Erev Tchumen. You know, we're not able to walk a certain distance. And you're able to create an Erev, it gives you a certain more amount of space. He was connecting himself to the halachos of Tchum. What does that mean? So the Meshech Chachma, we quoted this week, the Meshech Chachma, or Sameach. So, Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. So the Meshech Chachma says that an Erev means defining a border. Tchumen, Ne'er of Tchumen. Tchum means a border. So what does it mean that Yaakov set up a border when he got to Shechem? He says it means that Yaakov established his boundaries. Here he is, he's moving into a foreign city. He's coming to Shechem, and the people in Shechem weren't necessarily the greatest people. And Yaakov set up for himself a boundary. It means he set up for himself borders. He knew, Ad kan velo yoser. Yaakov Avinu teaches us that when we put ourselves in another situation, we get to summer camp, we move to a town, the person has to immediately figure out, what are my borders? What are my boundaries? Everything goes, or there's certain things I don't do, certain ways I don't speak, certain types of people I don't interact with, certain locations I don't go to. Yaakov Avinu set up for himself boundaries. This is something that Avram taught him, probably. Because it says, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, Yaakov says. What does that mean? As Chazal asked, I believe. If you're a ger, if you're a foreigner, then you're not a toshav. Toshav means a citizen. If you're a citizen, so you're not a ger, you're not a foreigner. So what does he mean that I'm a ger and a toshav? But he gufa is what he meant. Yes, there are certain things that I am a citizen, and I'm part of your town, and I'm part of your culture, but at the same time, I also realize that I'm a foreigner. And that's what Yaakov was teaching us in Shechem. Because you know what Chazal tell us he did outside of Shechem? Do you know what he built? Yaakov was a very entrepreneurial guy. And he was a person who contributed to society. Even though he was in Yoshev Ohalim, in Ishtam. It says he set up a currency. It says that he built bathhouses. That's what Yaakov Avinu did. Outside of Shechem. Chazal learned on a bunch of Darshan Pesukim. He built bathhouses. He set up commerce. He set up a currency. Yaakov Avinu was not an insular person sitting away in his insular community having nothing to do with the outside world. He interacted with the outside world, but he also set up a tchum. He also set up boundaries. Avram Avinu said, I'm a ger v'toshav. I'll be interacting with your society, with your culture, but I also need to set up my boundaries. This is something that Yaakov knew, and this is something that we have to learn. That we're not against secular culture. Lehefech, there are many beautiful things that secular culture has to offer us. But you can't embrace it wholeheartedly without setting out boundaries. The internet's a great example. The internet has tremendous things that we can learn, that we can gain from. There's lots of important information there. But if a person doesn't set up a boundary, then often a boundary needs something like a filter. Something that can set up for me a boundary. Not just to say, oh, I'll embrace it completely and I'll see where it takes me. But if you want to interact with the outside world and you want to gain from the outside world, which you should, but you need to be able then to set up boundaries and to say there are certain things I take from, there's certain things I don't take from. Remember my father once telling me when I was younger that when he grew up, so American culture was very, very wholesome. And there were so many great things that you can take advantage of. Television had great messages, wholesome messages. Now you're hard-pressed, he said, to find a movie that's clean. He said, we're not becoming more extreme, our community. It's just that as secular culture becomes more defiled and becomes less noble, so we, by nature, we have to shut out more of it. Not because we're against secular culture. We are all for secular culture. When it gives us positive things, when it contributes things that are in line with Torah, we don't live a secular life and try to infuse some Judaism into it. We live a Jewish life. We try to take the goodness and the greatness of secular culture in order to raise us up and to make us greater people. But it's only if secular culture is offering good things. And that boundary is something that Yaakov teaches us. That's how you're able to transcend location and you're able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every location. If you know the boundaries and you recognize that I need to establish for myself a system where I can know what to take and what to partake in and where to draw the line. So Hashem should help all of us. That we should take the message of Avram, Ger v'toshav anochi, we take the message of Yaakov, Vayichan Sham, that he established for himself boundaries. And if we do that, and if we daven like Yaakov did for tremendous siyata d'shmaya, because you can't do anything without tefillah, Vayifka b'mako, we take the message of the Beis Aaron and the Karlin Arov, that a person has an ability to transcend location like Yaakov did, but only if he prepares properly. And he's able to set for himself boundaries. So then we should have the schus to be able to overcome locations that we find ourselves in.